This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. First up this hour, our continuing look at the new Congress and its impact on science. The new Democratic Congress is promising swift and radical changes to Republican programs, but scientists are watching closely to see if lawmakers will pick up on some unfinished business. The outgoing Congress, for example, failed to pass spending bills for the current fiscal year, leaving many agencies with budgets capped at 2006 levels. Physical science programs, in particular, are being hit. The flat funding threatens to cancel basic research in physics and even close some facilities. So what can Congress do to get science back on track? If you'd like to join our discussion, give us a call. Our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. And as always, you can surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com. Bill Broad is a senior writer at the New York Times here in New York. He's written about this in the Times, and he joins us today by phone from his office there. Welcome back to the program, Bill.
Hi, Ira. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Michael Lubell is chair and professor in the Department of Physics at City College of the City University of New York and director of public affairs at the American Physical Society in Washington, where he joins us by phone. Welcome to the program, Dr. Lubell.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be with you.
You're welcome. Bill, we should emphasize that it's not the case that science budgets have been cut, right? Because the last Congress failed to pass these new budgets. Funding is stalled at last year's levels, right?
Yeah, that's right. But the bad news is that it turns into a cut because of that old demon inflation.
Mm-hmm.
If they're held at 06 levels, that means that because it's getting a little more expensive to do science, they're having a little less money to do it with. So that's anywhere from 3-4% or even 5% less in some areas. For mm-hmm. instance, I was talking to some people at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute on Cape Cod. Their fuel costs have gone through the roof, you know, in the last 2 years. Oil for and gas for their ships,
yeah.
And they're running at about 5% inflation. So, freezing the budget means a serious drop for them.
Speaking of Woods Hole and other places, I've heard from places like those that they're also losing their public information people because
yep.
those are the first people to go in a budget cut.
Sure, right. I mean, you know, you try to plow on with the research, but talking about the research gets the axe. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
So we learn less about what is really kind of a quiet crisis.
Yeah, Michael Lubell, do you agree?
I completely agree with Bill, and I'd say, in fact, for one of the largest funders of research in the physical sciences, the Department of Energy's Office of Science is caught in an even worse bind because in the previous year, the office sustained about a 4% cut, and it was largely the result, in the last analysis, of Katrina, and in power, or I should say level of effort, they lost between 7-8%, and then you tag on another 3% this year, and you're 10% behind where you were 2 years ago. And this comes on the heels of several decades of reductions in real level of effort amounting to about 20%. And it comes at a time when the United States is facing increased competition from abroad.
Hmm. What kinds of competition are you talking about?
Well, a number of years ago, the United States was the number one destination for students from all over the world. That is no longer the case. Asian students today mostly stay at home to carry out their doctoral work or advanced education. And the investments are being made throughout the world in large facilities, universities, and small facilities, mostly because there's a recognition that it is intellectual capital and scientific discovery that drives technology. And the time to market from discovery today is no more than a year. And if you're not located in the place where the discovery is taking place, mm-hmm. you're at a severe disadvantage. And we see the increase in the number of patent applications from the rest of the world, U.S. patent applications, gaining on American companies in the next few years. We will be completely outpaced. We've also seen our advanced technology trade drop into a severe deficit condition since the year 2000. So it's a real competitive race, and if things go along this way, we're not going to win it.
Given the scenario of the budget being flat and actually suffering now because of inflation, as Bill mentioned, Mike, can you now drill down and let's talk about some specific research projects that might be in danger of being canceled at these lower funding levels?
Sure. What I'll do is to talk about the national facilities that the Department of Energy operates. These laboratories are open to researchers from around the world, from around the United States, and people who are in various government agencies. They carry out research in materials. They carry out research in biomedicine. It's right across the board, and there's an awful lot of basic science that is done, which doesn't have necessarily any immediate payoff. Mm-hmm. Last year, for example, the Relativistic Heavy Ion Collider is a big, big machine, a ring that is located at Brookhaven National Laboratory, was going to have to be mothballed at just the time that it was beginning to produce very, very dramatic scientific results because they didn't have the money to operate it. A philanthropist stepped in and saved them last year, but if this current budget continues with a continuing resolution, that machine will be turned off. Another large machine at Fermi National Laboratory, the Tevatron, which is exploring very basic physics, would also be turned off at least for part of the year. Another facility that is just about to come on, which is in Tennessee, called the Spallation Neutron Source, in which we've just finished investing $1.4 billion. Incidentally, a machine that was completed on time and on budget, just ready to go, and it would not be able to start. That would reduce its capacity and essentially extend the we make a down payment on the construction of it, and then we can't use it. It's a foolish expenditure of money in that respect.
That's at Oak Ridge?
That's at Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee. Another example, we have a commitment to the International Thermonuclear Experimental Reactor. It's an international project. We would not be able to participate in this thing to the full extent that we said we would. This is a fusion energy machine. And I could go on and on with major cuts in X-ray light sources, which industry and pharmaceutical companies rely very heavily on. These would all suffer major reductions. In the last analysis, the estimates are that several thousand scientists would lose their jobs.
Mm-hmm. Bill, many of these projects are funded by scientific agencies in the government, like the National Science Foundation. Does that mean that their budgets are being cut also?
They are losing. They are, you know, because of inflation, they're experiencing these cuts. But in the case of NSF, they were slated for a $400 million increase in this current fiscal year. That's not going to materialize. And so across the nation, all these universities, you know, excellent schools that were planning and bending over backwards to prepare themselves for these new NSF programs, for instance, a super-duper supercomputer program that was going to help link universities, you know, at the cutting edge of computing science for basic science and engineering research, gone. You know, they just can't do it now. All of that work that they did in anticipation, you know, of this new program is just, you know, over. They're not getting the money. And, you know, as Mike was saying, it's a different playing field now. Globalization has destroyed our monopoly on the best and the brightest. You know, people have lots of options. And you go to these places, like I visited Brookhaven a couple years ago and looked at this particle accelerator, and it's a little case study in internationalism. There are people from all over the planet working there, and they're very bright, and it's a very mobile workforce. And if those machines turn down, well, thank you very much. They've got lots of alternatives, including, you know, going to work for, you know, financial giants that would just die to have their mathematical skills for, you know, working advanced algorithms in finance. So
yeah, going to Wall Street like many of them have.
Why not?
Isn't the new Congress or the Democrats in power, are they not more sympathetic to this? For example, there's Rush Holt, who's a physicist himself from Princeton, who is now as part of the majority instead of the minority.
Right. They are, but their line is, and I think it's sincere, is that they inherited a nightmare. This budget, the Republican-controlled Congress didn't do due diligence on this budget, and they can't patch it together. They're so overwhelmed with the current business, with any day now, a new budget that the president will present for 08, and they say, we don't have the manpower and the time to handle two budgets at once. We're going to have to hocus pocus on all the hearing work and the serious preparation that has to be done for the 08 budget, which is about to land.
I would add one more thing to what Bill has said, and that is that there's been a bipartisan commitment to address the research issue. The Democratic House members, a little over a year ago, issued their innovation agenda, which called for doubling spending, investment in basic research in the physical sciences across all agencies. And the White House, in the competitiveness initiative that it announced a year ago, made a similar commitment. This is not a partisan issue at all.
Absolutely. That was one of the unusual. I mean, people, you know, scientists can cry wolf like anybody else, right? But what's unusual about this period right now is that there was a huge consensus, especially for the physical sciences, that things were out of whack and we needed to do some serious rebalancing. Everybody was on board, and then nothing happened. And you talk to guys like the head of Brookhaven or the head of Fermilab in Illinois, and they're just shaking their heads. They can't believe it.
All right, we're going to take a short break. Stop shaking our heads. Come back, talk more with Bill Broad and Michael Lubell. Take your questions, talking about science budget cuts in this fiscal 2007 budget, which started last October, in case you can't keep track of budgets and how they happen. So stay with us. We'll be right back after this short break. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking about funding in science, the shortfalls in funding in science, especially in the physical sciences, physics, chemistry, things like that. This hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday with Bill Broad, a senior writer at the New York Times, and Michael Lubell, chair and professor in the Department of Physics at City College. Our number 1-800-989-8255. So, Michael, are we just left with this to wait it out? I mean, do people hope next year's appropriation will come be higher and make up?
Ira, I don't think we can afford to wait a year. We certainly can't, and the rest of the world is not going to wait for us to decide how we're going to do our political business. The situation in high technology is once you start to lose, you're going to fall further and further behind. It becomes much more difficult to catch up. Congress does have an opportunity in writing a continuing resolution to make adjustments. And since there has been bipartisan support for science, basic science, and the physical sciences particularly, they still have the opportunity to act on it. This is not the door has not been shut. It's still open a crack, and of course we're hoping that sane people will make sane decisions. Sometimes that's not how politics works, so we're still hoping to see that.
1-800-989-8255, a couple of phone calls. Elliot in Washington. Hi, Elliot.
Yes, good afternoon. Enjoying the show very much.
Thank you.
Wanted to make a couple of points here. When Mr. Broad was speaking about the inflation whammy that science takes and federal agencies take, on top of that, you have to factor in the fact that government agencies often have to absorb the cost of pay raises for their employees, so that adds another 2-2.5-3% to the loss. And I agree with the point that any delay just pushes being able to catch up far, far down the road. Can't have, under a continuing resolution, new starts that you had planned in fiscal 07 because you're working under fiscal 06 money. So that research and work gets pushed down the road. We're seeing it at our agency now.
What agency is that? Elliot?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry.
You didn't tell us what agency you were working at.
My apologies. I'm the Public Affairs Director for the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in Rockville, Maryland.
Ah, your agency, too, is getting hit.
Very much so. We're a small agency. We are working with $95 million, or 12% less than we had anticipated working with this year. We do a lot of licensing activities for nuclear facilities. We're seeing some impacts of delaying that work. I can't speak specifically to research, but when you're stuck with last year's budget and you can't start new projects and your focus is safety, it has an impact.
Mm-hmm. Bill, this is what we were talking about, these people flying under the radar screen.
Yeah. And here it's not all sort of airy-fairy, theoretical physics and that stuff. Listen to this list from NSF. Here are some of the things that are up in the air right now, taking hits. A big ship to explore the Arctic, doing evaluations of thinning polar ice, i.e., global climate change and what's really going down. A $310 million observatory that is supposed to wire the oceans, from the seabed to the surface, to help answer basic, fundamental research enigmas. People don't realize that the ocean is one of the outstanding issues in the global climate change studies and enigmas. I mean, we don't understand it that well, and yet we know it plays a huge role in moderating the planet's overall climate. So you've got to nail that variable better. Another one is this NSF program for the U.S. contribution to this international polar year, which is just happening. It's about 12 countries. They're all pooling their money, and it's hundreds of scientists. They're all getting ready to really go to work on the poles and do a very detailed baseline study, which will also be important for climate change. Well, our contribution is up in the air now, and those little things hurt.
Mm-hmm. Ann in Marysville, California. Hi, Ann.
Hi. I was wondering whether if the budget that focuses so much on the war in Iraq, does that affect the funding at all for science and research and all that?
Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, well, I would say that the war in Iraq affects everything. Science is not singled out. When you're paying $2 billion a week for a war effort, other things in the budget do suffer. Science just happens to be one of the many, many things in the discretionary, what we call the discretionary civilian budget. So obviously, as everything is hit, science is hit as well.
That's the cost of a whole project one week, Aaron.
Yes, that's exactly
many
right.
Many projects together.
Yeah, if you look at it, as I said, the Spallation Neutron Source, this big machine in Tennessee, cost $1.4 billion, and we go through that in 10 days in Iraq spending. It's quite amazing. I guess what I would also add is that science is not a spending program. It's a real investment. The returns are very substantial. Economists estimate that for every dollar that's spent, we reap economically a benefit of at least $1.50 and maybe even higher. We oftentimes don't realize what we get, and I'll just give one very simple example, and that's the iPod. Apple just announced a new one, but if you take a look at the iPod, the hard drive in it, that began with funding from the Department of Energy Office of Science back in 1988. The lithium-ion battery, which powers it, also came from DOE's investments in electrochemistry and the liquid crystal display, that now the new color one, of course, that came from the National Science Foundation, NIH, and the Department of Defense. These were federal investments, and they've made their way into the commercial economy. Most people don't realize where it all started.
You know, if I can raise a point, I think in addition to the war, people who don't follow this closely are sort of can't believe it in a way, because we're so dazzled by the biomedical progress that we make as a nation, and the fact that there's this unending display of creativity and innovation all around us that saves lives and does wonders all the time. I don't think people realize that the biomedical part of the federal budget is 5 times larger than the physical sciences part. You know, the physical sciences, all this stuff that we're addressing is a tiny, fraction of the overall federal budget, and it's been, dropping, relative to the other stuff. So it's kind of getting lost down, as you said, Ira, under the radar, and it's not a good thing.
Now, you would think that with Hurricane Katrina and the other hurricanes, and we didn't have a big hurricane season this year, but considering we know it's going to happen real soon now again, that research for the oceans, you're talking about the sensors on the seafloor, things like that, would be a higher priority.
Right.
It doesn't, I've always said that if Washington were located on the San Andreas Fault Line or in New Orleans, we'd all be getting funding for these types of projects, but it's not.
Right, right.
It's sort of out of sight and out of mind there.
Yeah, Ira, what I would add to that is it has to do with people's time horizons. The time horizon for a member of Congress is 2 years. The time horizon for a CEO is about 90 days. The time horizon for a consumer is probably tomorrow, one day. And the time horizon for science is 5 to 10 years. That's one of the problems we face.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't look like we're going to get a continuing resolution or some sort of increase on this unless we shout loud enough about it.
Exactly.
In the science community.
Yeah, I think the public ought to be screaming, because ultimately it's the public that is the beneficiary of this. It's not the scientists. The scientists do this thing, do their work because they're excited about it, but they also believe they're making major contributions to society as a whole. And it's the public that ought to be outraged about what's happening.
All right. I don't think we have a better place to sum up and to thank you, gentlemen, for taking time to be with us. Michael LaBelle, Chair and Professor in the Department of Physics at City College in New York, and Director of Public Affairs at the American Physical Society in Washington. Bill Broad, Senior Writer at the New York Times. Thank you, gentlemen, for taking time to be with us.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good weekend.